So they fulfilled everything that you need.
Maps.
Sure.
Well, I know it's weird up in there. Yeah. Where Mark Simpson and his brother girl from Houston.
Yeah. Back. Yeah.
Mississippi Mountain by Cedar Ridge.
Ah, thank you.
It cuts from 274 across the 929. Comes out
Ah,
right
okay.
there in front of the Hughes unit.
Yeah.
It comes out there with that curve on 274.
Yeah.
There's a subdivision on the other end of it down there at 929, but this end of it's been cut up over the years, long before we come along.
All right, Mr. Manick, you're good with it?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll make a motion that we approve the Dove City subdivision plat as presented.
Got a motion.
Second.
Got a second by Commissioner Taylor. Any questions? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, same sign. Move down to number eight. Consider request for variance for the county's platting requirements for CAD ID 150978, Tier 2 subdivision.
This is in the floodplains out of 314. My opinion, in fact, we wouldn't have a branch because they can't build in it. They had to get a septic permit. So I don't foresee it being an issue to you, Mr. Mann.
No, sir. They want to sell it off for recreational purposes, like somebody buy it to go sit by the river, I guess. But that's the way they presented it to me. So they're selling off for recreation purposes.
But it is in the floodplain. Yeah.
Is there a difference between the flood hazard zone and a flood plain?
So floodplain is a generic term.
Yeah.
There are different flood hazard areas, zone A, zone X, zone. A bunch of zones.
Yeah,
Some
so
of
I
them
guess
are
an A.
studied areas, some of them are unstudied areas. This area is actually probably in the impoundment easement area for the Belt and Lake. So the Corps of Engineers probably have an impoundment easement over this property because when the lake backs up, this area floods.
Right.
So this is, probably one of the worst flood plain areas to be in. I mean, it's just like when that park when the lake gets full and backs out, this is completely underwater. It may be for seemingly worth months at a time. So, I don't know. I did not look to see what zone it was in.
I mean, it looks like it's a areas with a 1% annual chance of flooding. That's what I was kind of looking at going, how do they grade that?
Pretty much everything on that right-hand side. And
Yeah.
Dennis's place down here, he's 2 foot below the spillway elevation of the emergency. This is even closer.
It doesn't just flood the river, it's out, it floods the lake itself too. And it's completely underwater. Back out for 6 months or a year,
That's 600 foot.
I was more just educational. I didn't know what, looking at that going, what is the difference? Thank you.
All right, so your motion was
Grant variance.
to grant the variance.
I get 5 seconds.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign.
Commissioner, do I need to go ahead and say CAD ID number as well?
I read it out to her. I think she's got it.
Okay.
Got it? Yes, ma'am. All right. All right. So we'll move down to number nine. Consider Central Texas Council of Government request for renaming a private road off of County Road 303.
Bill, this is one that we tabled last commissioner's report. I think they managed to melt and got all their stuff. Yeah. So I'm going to make that motion to name, let's see, request to rename a private road off County Road 303. The name of it's going to be Back 40 Trail.
All right, got a motion.
I'll second that.
And we have a second from all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. All right. All right, so move down to number 10. Consider accepting a donation for residents on North, from residents on North Table Rock Road.
So, Commissioner Mackey has been talking to these people for a while. They're paying for the old products in the chip seal that section of the road there for the filling their house. I guess about a year and a half ago, we hauled that road out.
Yes, sir.
Basically got a little bit of flint in it, nothing out of ordinary, but everyone would cover that up, kind of some of the small cars and getting more flats and stuff on it. And so we kind of come to an agreement that they pay for the whole top over the base we hauled in there. But it's does it have a dollar
in it? No, sir. And I couldn't remember because it'd been a year and a half ago.
It's $11,000. I did not put names on there currently right. Because they didn't want to kind of commingle their funds, so they're all just going to kind of write checks once we receive them. I don't know if I need to put it back on the agenda with all the names on it and who the donations are from, or just turn it into Randy. There's about six or seven, I don't know the exact number of how many of them are going to be all contributing to it, live up down the road.
Well, I would ask for the legal advice on that one. I think we can accept it now, but I think we'd have to. I don't know.
Well, you know, obviously says that all donations to the county must be accepted by the commissioner's court. I talked to the judge about it the other day, and you know, our thought was we'd put something on here to make sure the court was okay before these people write the checks and give them to the
gotcha.
Court approving the process of, yes, it's okay, Logan Bridge, go ahead and collect $11,000, get all this stuff to do. Once we get all of them in and we get a spreadsheet with all the names and
break
the
amounts,
we'll bring it back to the court for approval. That way the treasurer will have something to dollarize and cross their fees with.
Well, I would make the motion. I would make the motion to accept the donation from the residents from North Table Rock Road.
Second.
All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, same sign. All right, we can move down to number 11. Updates and activities on grants. SS4A. Do we have anything, sir?
Last word was the judge was going to talk to Jerome Nelson at the CityCog about options to get our in-kind numbers up so we could draw in the rest of the funds. I've not received any word back from either one of them in regards to that conversation.
All right, sir.
I have not done anything else on SS4A. I have closed out my files on it. I've done everything I can do.
Excellent. H&P.
The in-work request has been submitted, uploaded to the GLO. They have everything. Just waiting on them to make their final review and submit us some money back on that one. Like I told you a lot of time before last. Persons that's understanding right. That they're doing some of that stuff. And that HMP, they haven't asked any follow up questions on yet, so I think all of that's in order. I don't expect any issues with any of that.
RCP.
Well, we're floating along. Ms. Thompson is waiting dates from. For a workshop. She's ready when y'all are. She's past ready, actually. And we received a new contract the other day that had those amendments in it that I told you about last time, extending the timeline from 12 to 30 months and 18 to 30 months on two of the deliverables. It's in the judge's inbox with DocuSign. The DocuSign has been refreshed so that it can be signed. I thought he told us last time on the commissioner's report that he had signed it and submitted it, but he must not hit the button right because it's held up in DocuSign.
Right.
They refreshed the deal so that he can get that done. Talked to him about it yesterday. We'll see. Tracking that. And again, Ms. Thompson has been visiting some about the desperate need for a workshop or something to get the ball rolling on finishing up our projects. They cannot complete their land use plan without our regulations being updated, because those are a part of the land use plan. So they have done all they can do on their end of the land use plan. They are ready for us to begin work on our subdivision regulations, floodplain ordinance, building codes, and things of that nature, so that those can be incorporated in the land use plan.
Y'all have any dates you want to try to set up for it? The holidays are here, but
we got the holidays coming this week. So
yeah,
December 3rd, Tuesday.
If I could get 2 or 3 dates, I could send them to Ms. Thompson.
Yeah.
She may be available December 3rd. I don't know, but that's just next Tuesday.
So yeah,
might be hard to get a
right.
Maybe sometime that if I could get a few dates, either late next week or
how about the 4th, 5th, and 6th?
Yeah.
Give her the 4th, 5th, and 6th.
The 5th, we have our annual our construction meeting at 9 a.m. I mean, we can do
it. We can start it at, how long does it last? Hour? Or kind of, yeah. We can start it at 10. Just say the 4th, 5th, and 6th, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. All those are good for me. Yeah.
Mr. Belt, if you can let her know, or I'll let her know, 1 and 2, 4th, 5th, and 6th at 10 a.m.
I'm out on the
5th.
Oh,
are you? Okay.
I don't know if that matters.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you need to be here.
How about that week of the 9th and 13th?
Yeah.
I'm saying 9th and 13th, that next week. I'll be out
until
the
10th. All right, 11, 12, 13. All right, 11, 12, 13th. Y'all still want to try 10 o'clock? Because I know y'all may have a meeting that day, that Thursday, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that gives them time to get here, too.
Okay.
Be rushing them.
All right. So we'll plan on that. We'll get with her and see if that fits your schedule. All right.
Can't take off now.
Anything else on RCP, sir? All right. CBG met? Nothing.
Did get an email from Jill Finney. Emailed the GLO folks. Just want to hold that together. GLO folks about progress of their review of our resubmitted application, and they got the answer to all the RFIs. I'm going to say it's been at least 45 days ago, maybe closer to 60 days ago, and they have provided no response to our application. Even though the judge has talked to some folks down at the GLO, we said we were going to get
right
this time around.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't expect to hear anything else out of that left for the first of the year at this point, for lots of reasons. Thanksgiving, Christmas being, probably number 2 and 3 of those reasons, but I don't expect to hear anything else that first year out of it.
Yes, sir.
But the application, all the RFIs have been answered. We have nothing left that we don't do at this point. They got it, and we're waiting.
Yes, sir. FEMA DR 4781.
Meeting with them Monday.
Did they find? Oh, we don't know. Find their documents?
Something more information on them.
Okay. Nothing we need to do, but wait. That's what I thought. All right. Anybody have any questions on any of the grant stuff? None. Move down to number 12. Consider the proposal for RFP for administrative professional services applications for hazard mitigation grant program. We had one.
One response.
Would you like those, Mr. Bell?
Yes, I probably didn't do those, and I'll tell you all why. If y'all recall, the first time we went out to request for proposals on the RCP program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was for funds, different funds, but they're still mitigation funds, but they're administered by the GLO. And the GLO made us re-procure that. This first time around, we just got one response. And the GLO's rules are that that's not competitive procurement if you just get one response. So I went back through the GLO's rules this morning and read through them again. And their rules are pretty clear that if you just get one response, you should not enter into a contract with that vendor without talking to the GLO first.
Yeah.
And the reason is because there's a process in there for reviewing a RFP that only gets one response to determine whether or not it is competitive or not. Part of that is a cost analysis, best I can tell. And it says a detailed cost analysis, and it's based on, in part, some federal guidelines and also based on comparison of the responses received to the estimate that is done before an RFP is issued of the, you know, what you think it's going to cost. So I prepare cost estimates on every RFP that we go out on. It's part of my little procurement checklist that I put in the bid. Obviously, it's based on prior contracts that we have with vendors, such as the ones responded to this and MRB, you know, the ones we've done business with and the ones that have responded to our RFPs. We kind of know what the price range is on these kind of things. So cost estimate on grant administration services is pretty easy. It's not like building a building or something where I'm not capable of coming up with cost estimate. Pretty easy on grant administration, we have history. And so this one doesn't go through the GLO. This is straight through the feds. It's 404 dealers. It's Stafford Act money straight through the feds. So the 2 CFR 200 does not have that language in it that the GLO's procurement process is having. It just says that, and I thought it's the last little number in the 2 CFR 200.320, I think it is. Right in the middle there where it talks about non-competitive procurement. It's just a sentence, it's like B, and it says something along the lines of that the competitive process is that the governing body determines the competitive process has been met because of that price comparison component, basically. Mm-hmm. We got to say it's pretty short, but that's what it's alluding to. It's not real clear either. That's what it's alluding to, I'm saying. So I think if the court finds that, you know, the competitive procurement process has been met because the price in the response received is in line with, you know, our cost estimate, which is based on our past history with grant administration services, I think it's okay, but I don't get to make that decision in the end. And so I would like to talk. Miss Langford's always been very good to talk to and visit with about things like this. She knows a whole lot more about it than all of us put together.
Yeah.
And so fine with y'all approving it, but I'd like to talk to Miss Langford about how she feels about how safe a decision that is if we get down the road and somebody says, well, yeah, we don't need to do this.
Yeah.
One of the little things, because we only got one response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of went over a page. They popped that from there. A little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
When it starts talking about, and maybe you can help me with it, the application writing that can be $1,000 per application. Do you have a page number on there?
I don't have a copy of the document. It's going to be part of the document. Okay.
Okay. I mean, did anybody else?
It's very, it's not concrete.
They talk about, you know, a lot of different.
I think really it's more on the percentage line.
Okay. And I think that has a bearing on, well, is it competitive? So is there only one application?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so $1,000.
Yeah.
But then they get into this, the EAs and the CRSs.
Yep.
And it goes on to say,
well, so there was only one response to the RFP, but there could be more than one application. The 404 projects are bigger projects that weren't necessarily damaged as a result of this last event, but that have a history of being issues, for lack of a better term. And so we could pick three or four. This is the one, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that we were told we probably had a good chance of getting one of, maybe two, but probably not. Yeah, right. Should apply for maybe two or three, because right, we probably would get one because of our history.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's this program.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there could be more than one application, because we could, for example, we could say, you know, just like on CBDG MIT, you know, we could say 274 and Baldwin Hall. You know, we could pick two different or three different projects to apply for. So there could be two or three, but that's it. Not a big one.
Right. And so let's say we apply for three.
Mm-hmm.
So that's $3,000, you know, all in, you know, okay, we've spent that money for them to do the application. Then we get to that second part. The way I understand it is, if they accept our application, then that second part starts to kick in, and we don't even have to approve.
Right.
You know, if they approve a project and we look at it and go, no, that just doesn't make financial sense. We don't.
That's why I understand it.
Yeah. Into the contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you do enter into the contract, then so you go into what my recollection is they refer to as like phase two, and that is that at that time, I'm trying to find my cheat notes, most all of that is covered by the grant, and that, you know, that's stuff that they would go out. Okay, 404 is the ones the BCA is required on. You got to get the 1.1 for 75% payout. The H&H can be done in phase one, so you don't have to do it ahead of time. It can be done as part of the program. Grant administration and engineering procurement is required. Phase one will be the H&H, the design specifications, plans and specs. Phase two will be construction. The grant administration is set by the statute, by the law, 5%.
Right.
Covered 100% by FEMA. Engineering is 20 to 25% of the project cost. 75% of that will be done in phase one. It'll be included and covered as part of the project. It's the one they said, you know, pick projects that have the biggest impact, have the highest BCA, stick around $1 million, stay short of $2 million. It's kind of their thoughts on the projects and kind of the process.
It is on the second page, isn't it? About projects under 300,000, one of these, based on those kind of advice, they're going to be over 300,
mm-hmm.
right in that million.
So, I mean, that's the, you know, kind of when you talk about
When you talk about cost comparison on this and competitive nature of the proposal, you know, the grant administration fees are set by the government.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the CBDG MIT. I mean, it's kind of canned. It's like, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's the process, here's what we're going to pay for this, you know, at these points through the project. And it's, you know, it's based on project costs. I mean, they've got an amount they'll pay the engineers and stuff, and all the engineer firms know it. That's what they, and we'll do it for the rate that they're paying, you know,
right.
Type deal. And so I feel pretty good about the competitive issue, but still, I talked to Ms. Langford about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a wise move. For the form of a motion, I guess giving you the.
Here you go.
Oh, it's a 20.
Yeah,
because they're the lowest. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, as far as they're not automatic money thing. So that was probably the easiest rating sheet I've ever done.
Yeah. No doubt.
Just got scribble marks on this man.
Public record the first time I've ever given 100.
I think y'all could approve the RFP from Langford and Associates for administrative professional services for the 404 program, pending review of the competitive procurement procedures.
You got that?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. So the motion was from Commissioner Weddle, and the second was from Commissioner Taylor. So we'll move down to number 13, the update on construction project.
Construction. Wow. Exterior is, I mean, they're down to the final stuff.
Yep.
Finishing up the fencing, the wrought iron fencing that should be painted very shortly. Stamped concrete was tomorrow. That was on 11/21 when we have our meeting. So, have you seen? Did they do the? I don't know where they're.
No.
Okay. All the light poles are being set. Parking lot's going to be striped the 1st of December. Handrails and ramps and the detention pond will be completed and finished. There's going to they put a fence around the detention pond. Gates really have been installed, but they'll finish those and paint those. The front door was being installed the day that we actually walked it. Carpet's about 80%. Millwork is in progress. All the restroom fixtures are on site. They're being installed. Holding cell sick fixtures are being installed by the security contractor next week, which would be this week. And okay. Questions on that update? So we have a little, we had a meeting after the meeting regarding the grand opening house, and Butler Cone said that the veneer red oak for all of the millwork has just been a nightmare of trying to get a big enough lot to all match and the same. So that's been pushed out. I mean, it's really, that's the last piece. And they cannot do a substantial completion to us until that is installed. I mean, they wouldn't build, I mean, it's not right. Millwork's a big part of it.
Yep.
So, we just determined that, we won't have the substantial completion. So the date that we set, December, I think, 18th, mm-hmm. is not a go. We're not going to be able to do an open house before Christmas. Mm. So we kind of talked about it. Not for anybody, not that anybody's panicking. They said the completion date is still, on schedule. And in fact, they're still, targeting, by per the contract, January 7th, for the completion date. Once that veneer comes in, they said it's just, then they can get going. So we're looking at an open house on January 16th, which is a Thursday. And in attendance to that meeting was Coy Latham and Judge Grant, Judge Latham and Judge Kinsey. And then we had a big group from Butler Cone, of course, Commissioner Basham and myself were in there. So we kind of looked at that and said January 16th, we figured Thursdays are always good days for that. And instead of 3 to 7, 3 to 6 p.m.
January.
Is that good for everybody?
16, 3 to?
3 to 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
And I'll give it to you, and you're going to be a big part of this.
There you go.
In fact, Butler Cone, they're so, of course, they have resources. They had two marketing folks on the Zoom call, and they were like, "You want us to take over?" And I said, "I can't ask you to do this, but if you are volunteering, absolutely."
Sure.
So, I mean, they're willing to. They're working on a flyer, press release. They're going to take care of most of the details for us, fortunately. And we haven't talked to any. Funds or anything, but I think they're going to contribute because this is kind of their open house also.
Right.
And so I think they will. I was talking stale cookies and punch like you got at the church, but they were like, "Well, no. How about if we got a couple of food trucks out there?" We're like, "Whatever you guys do, we will certainly accept." Mr. Bell, you're okay with that? Yeah, I mean,
whatever shows up.
This is, yeah. So I'll be. So they're going to be. They are going to be looking to us. Suggestions on food trucks. First thing that popped into my mind that time of year is like a Green Rooster type, which has coffee and, all your stuff. But we discussed the budget, we discussed refreshments, dignitary invites, entertainment, Christmas trees out, scheduled security. Mr. Helm, you got so as far as security, Kinsey said his bailiffs will handle that, but then we'll also have hopefully the two sheriff's deputies in place at that time, and that'll be a great practice run for them, running the scanners, and everything. We'll
16.
Probably scan everybody in. We agreed not to open up the corridors back in the offices, just to make all the courtrooms, the
public
foyer
area,
and the public areas available. No going in the holding cells and no pictures allowed unless approved. So we added biggest thing is if you guys, if you guys can think of any dignitaries that we need to invite, just send me some suggestions. Okay. I don't mind duplicates.
Yeah.
Anybody that you can think of.
Sure.
We'll also do the same thing with media. They talked about a photographer, but I said, man, our illustrious, you know, media will be taking photos, and we can just, you know, use those as submissions. And if they want to get their own photographer, they could. They discussed about a podium and a microphone, you know, would there be any, you know, words, you know, spoken? So I thought maybe, I don't know if the judge is going to want to, but certainly Commissioner Bachman and I could just give a little brief welcome, you know, statement. And that's it.
Great. Bash, you got anything on 13?
Nope.
All right. Number 14, consider actions on items to support construction projects.
None.
All right. Move down to number 15, consider interlocal agreement between Coryell County and the City of Gatesville Sewer Main Replacement Patch for Leon and Fifth Street.
Commissioner Belt had, you know, you guys know, we read history right. I mean, we were at the crunch time of the jail. We had the sewer line. They had to get it hooked up. It just started crumbling. We had money in the budget. So not to delay the project, you know, we said, man, let's get that, you know, so we're done. And we've had a conversation with the city since then. Commissioner Basham, in fact, Mr. Belt was there that night. We went to the city council, asked them. They said yes. Well, they didn't say yes that night, but they put it in their budget to reimburse us for the entire amount of the sewer replacement. And then they talked about they're going to repave 5th and Leon, completely repaving. We had an amount in the budget for patching, and so it just made sense. You know, why would Butler Cone patch that street? Mm-hmm. And so we had the money available. And so I said, well, city, would you be okay if, you know, we use that money to help, you know, offset some of your, they were very excited about that. And so what they said was they would just deduct that from the 58, whatever thousand, and that's all in here. And so now we have an interlocal agreement. If we can get this approved, then I'll take it over to the city. And then present it to the city council and everything will be square and then cut us the check for the remainder. Fair enough.
Any questions? Yep.
Anybody got any? Did I clear that pretty good?
Cleared up.
Clear.
Make a motion to accept the interlocal agreement between Coryell County and the City of Gatesville Sewer Main Replacement and Patching of Leon and Fifth Street.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. All right. Consider appointing a member of Coryell County Historical Commission, members to the Coryell County Historical Commission for 2025-2026 term.
Do we need to name all the names?
Good question.
I'm just saying this provided.
Yeah.
I make a motion to accept the list that's provided to the court, the Coryell County Historical Commission for 2025-2026 term.
Got a motion from Commissioner Basham. I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. All right. She needs that, but I won't make that available. 11-26.
Hey, you need the names.
I got it right here. I'm going to give it to her. All right. Let me finish that one. Number 17, consider casting votes for the Coryell County Central Appraisal District Board of Directors.
Understand already.
Yes.
Yes and no.
I do
understand. Well, is there a strategy? Then okay. So obviously now, go on the strategy with Florida.
Right.
Yes. Right. So Rio gets the major
most
part of our, yes, major part of the vote. Do we have some votes to was split up among those members. We had three, I guess, well, there's multiple people on there, including Commissioner Matthews and myself. So.
Well, there's formerly leaders. I can't remember exactly what it is. It's been a long time since I took that class. If you take the total number of votes, take the total number of people, the positions that are available. So say there's, I don't know, there's five.
Yeah.
And there's 5,000 votes. When you divide that, it comes up with 1,000. So if you cast 1,001 votes for a person, you're guaranteed to get them elected to their position.
Yeah.
Because nobody has enough votes to vote over that number or a different enough more people to win. So you don't have enough to secure two people.
Right.
I don't think, but sometimes you might, especially if you're going to collude with others that have smaller voting rights, which we've done in the past. But that takes prior collusion. Legal collusion.
Yeah.
Completely legal collusion. But collusion just saying.
So there's, yeah, it looks like there are a total of 5,000 votes and eight candidates. So
don't divide it by the number of candidates, you divide it by the number of positions that are open.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
His brother's usually pretty good.
Well, I know in the past we've always just, you know, he wasn't guaranteed a seat on the board.
Right.
So we just cast all our
votes. All our votes for him.
For him.
Yeah.
So am I right? That's the way it was like 2 years.
That's why. So we're entitled to $1,270.
Yes.
Yeah, it's done by the levy. Yeah.
Right.
I used to think it was something. I don't know what I thought it was something. But I thought it was something. The only person that proposed it.
Right.
So we used to go because we're not even able to.
Am I then making the assumption that there are five available positions? So how come on the next page there's only five slots?
I've asked him to come over. We're on. Yeah, we can. Made a motion to table that. Well, got a motion and a second. All those in favor of tabling, say aye. And we'll wait for Mr. Carruthers. We'll move down to number 18. Consider finance options for the purchase of a property located at 809 South Main Street, Coppers Cove. CAD is 121069.
Who requested that?
I'm not sure, but we briefly talked about it. We've got to move.
That's sometime the judge identifies on here who submits these. kind of makes a difference.
So what? That's not my language.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I sent all y'all an email. I don't know, maybe I sent the judge an email saying we're going to buy this piece of property and probably discuss
how we're going to do
it. How we're going to pay for it. And something along the way. It was pretty short and sweet. That may have been all it said. But this is, I didn't say please place on the agenda for consideration at the next meeting this particular language.
Right.
But I did send an email to that effect at some point. Or may talk to him. I think I did send an email. I may talk to him on the phone. I don't remember. May have done both. They true. Probably did do both, actually.
you be more vain?
My brothers
is back.
Okay. Yeah, we can table number 18 if you'd like and go back to Mr. Crothers, because I'm sure he has stuff that he has to send to as well. So everybody fine with tabling number 18 and moving back to 17? All right. All right. We're back on the Appraisal District Board of Directors. So there's 6 spots. Is that correct, sir? 5 spots. Okay, 5 spots.
So why did they divide? Do you have a copy of this?
Yeah.
Why did they divide the 5,000 by 6?
Algebra.
Okay.
Well, so if you want to get a majority, so if you have 5 spots and you have 5,000 votes, divide by 6, that gives you the number that would put 5, you know, one person on.
Guaranteed at least one.
Yeah,
you cast 834 for one.
Right. So if 5 people cast 834, there's only 800 and
left. Yeah. I got you.
Or, you know,
okay.
Four elements. So this is some kind of equation. Algebra.
I don't think it's correct, though.
It is.
Okay, so that's correct. If the number is divided by the number of persons, you add one.
And add one?
They cast 1,001 votes. For a person. All the other entities only have 3,991 votes left. How can they give 4 other candidates more than 1,000 votes? They can. But there's just 4,001, there's just 3,991 votes left.
Yeah, but it's about seeing so. If it's 834, if they cast 834, there's not enough left to put 5 seats in the limit of 4.
It would be 746.
For all of them, get 40s. Yeah. Your math problem, it's going to be just your lowest 3. It doesn't matter the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you cast more than 834, it changes the equation. But it's still
right.
830, everyone. If 5 people cast 834, there wouldn't be enough left. But, you know, so that would be the plurality of the phase part of the guarantee one.
Okay.
That'd be 4,170 votes, and that'd be 830 left, so that wouldn't be enough. So 834 is the magic. Not working.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
But as I told you before you got here, it's been a long time since I took that class, and I may be wrong. Until I prove myself wrong, I'll pick on my original answer.
So, Commissioner Matthews, I know you had conversations with is Mr. K. Manning?
I have not with Mr. Manning. Well, I've talked to Mr. Manning, but it's been a long time ago. I talked to Mr. Joel.
Oh, sorry, Kevin George. Sorry.
A while back, and he did show some interest, but I'll be honest with you, I have not talked to him as of late. But he did show some interest in originally the 3 spots of the
board.
Yeah,
right.
The election.
I put my name on there because I know I'll go to meetings. I don't want to think about it, but I'll go to meetings. I don't do donuts. Sugar is bad.
How much girls we need to pick five people?
No.
No.
Just
one.
Whatever.
One or two.
Whatever you want.
Three or, I mean, we can pick up the, but yeah. Strategy wise, if I understood, we want to give at least one of our picked candidates 834 votes.
Yes, then we're here to one seat.
One seat. And then we could give another one. Well, then we got 436 votes left.
Yeah.
And you're already on this, correct?
Yes, sir.
Because on the right time, we've always gave 15.
Yeah, they changed the law. So now the Texas are automated voting numbers. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
so putting you on the spot, we need to fix, pick two or three people.
Well, I mean, I would, if it was me, I would cast 834 votes for one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then cast the rest for one other person.
Well, I would make a motion to cast 834 votes for Kevin George and 436 votes for Commissioner Whittle.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay. Let me finish that real quick. 834, 436. All right. That's done. We can move back down to number 18. Consider finance options to purchase property located at 809 South Main Street, Coppers Cove, Texas, CAD 121069. And the judge, I believe, put this one on here. I think we do need to do something.
Yeah. Everybody received this.
Yes, I did.
That I send you. I don't think I copied you, Mr. Bell. No, you and I didn't.
I got it. Okay. I don't worry about it, but I got it. I recognize it.
Well, this is the revised one. So we got the revised one or not. So I had reached out to, you know, Vince and said, you know, put the numbers together, please. And so he did. I believe he sent those to the judge on the 13th. 13th of November.
Mm-hmm.
And so I waited a week. And I hadn't seen that at all, you know, passed along. So on, I believe it was the 20th, I spoke with Mr. Valle and said, please, let's get this out to the rest of the court. We'd have time to, you know, take a look at it. So he sent it to me, and I have since forwarded it along to you guys. I also went over and, went over there twice. He wasn't there, Zach, with Cadence.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally did get on the phone with him, and we had a discussion about, you know, the bank, getting a bank loan. And he said that the judge had talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he was had requested from the judge a copy of the signed contract,
mm-hmm,
and a copy of the renovations. Well, I know Mr. Frothers gave me a copy of the estimated renovations, but Mr. Zach said he had not seen any of that information. But then he and I, you know, had a candid conversation about that. He's aware that if they do a loan to us, it has to be paid off, or should be paid off, by the next budget.
Right.
That really scares me.
Mm-hmm.
So for purposes of discussion, I mean, I think from day one, I said, I think, you know, a tax note is the way to safely go. I don't in my personal life, and I don't like rolling the dice, especially with our constituents' money, of saying, well, if we sell those other properties, then we can pay it back. If we were to, as was maybe suggested, you know, in court, to refinance that note or that loan from the bank, I don't know the 100% legality of that. I do know the brief research that I did says, no, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was advised that, you know, said what would probably happen is you could do it. But then when our external auditors, you know, did our external audit, they would see that and then black, you know, give us a black marker or flag, you know, saying, hey, you guys did this and you're not supposed to do it, which would then go to Attorney General's office, I think. And then the Attorney General would have us on their watch list, I guess. So it's a question of whether it's, would we get in major trouble for it? Maybe not. I don't want to get, you know, it's kind of like, we've been on those lists before, haven't we? So, I think we should seriously look at this tax note and the schedule. And for you, Mr. Bathroom, you know, the INS tax rate would go up 0.003.
My concern is that we'll be able to do this in a timely manner. You know, we've got a set time where we've got to buy this building.
Good question. I think later on, we're talking about a budget amendment, get the $500,000 out of the general fund so Mr. Belt can go to closing. Have we got a closing date set?
No.
Okay. What is there? Are they waiting on us?
That's
fair. Okay. So once we, if we pass a budget amendment to approve the $500,000, then what would be your guesstimate of closing?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any kind of a closing cost estimate sheet yet?
No, sir. I need to know the... If there's no financing involved, they had that one ready.
Right.
But I told them to hold off because I didn't know what we were going to do. And so when Houston was sending me a statement with.
Okay. Yeah, and I was trying to calculate because I know, you know, the judge was like, oh, you know, that would be 22%, you know, interest. And I'm like, I don't know how many times I recalculated it going, I don't know how he came up with it, but it would be paying 22%. There's always going to be closing your costs. And that's why I was asking on any loan, if we went further with Zach, I mean, there's going to be some closing cost on that. Probably at least 1% origination fee, you know, on the loan, which right there would be $5,000.
That's the reason I cannot get a closing statement with the details of a loan from the bank without the bank sending their detailed stuff to the title company and them putting it all in. I don't know, I have any idea what it is. I don't know what it is.
So to answer your question, one of the beautiful things, and if you'll look at, I think it's on this last page, you know, Vince gives you a timetable of, you know, kind of like what we did on the last one, you know, you do it on this date, this date, this date. It is perfectly legal and fine, according to Vince, for us to go to the closing, pay out of our general fund, and then reimburse ourselves, you know, through the tax note. So it wouldn't slow down our closing at all. We would not have to go to the table with that. We're going with cash. And then we get the tax note. We put it in a separate, you know, fund under, you know, that, reimburse ourselves back to $500,000, or actually, we need to pay $635,000. I also talked to him. I made it very adamant, and he felt very comfortable, you know. I just, everything, you know, I try to do what I would do in my own personal life. I don't enter into a contract that has any kind of a prepayment penalty or anything of that sort. He said for this small amount, and the banks that would be bidding on this, he said it could be paid off. And the reason I say that is, let's say in 2 years we get some kind of a nice windfall of you know, grant money, we get our reserve back, and you know, then we could decide to pay off a loan. If not, let it run its course through the 5 years and see. You know, we'd be paying a total of $82,211 in interest at a estimated rate of 4.25, which in January might even come down, because they might, you know, that might lower that rate again.
I haven't been able to find anything about, and that's my only concern about the tax note being delayed until March 12th, the deliverable on it. I haven't been able to find anything that says we can pay ourselves back or like refinance after we've made a purchase. That's my only, and I would like to see that, I mean, somewhere other, you know what I'm saying? That's my only concern. And that's kind of what we're on, 18. So
yeah, and right now you're right. Yeah, you're taking my word that I had that conversation.
Yeah.
So my recommendation would be that if the court wants to explore the tax note further,
set him up
to come in and make a presentation to us at the December 10th meeting.
I think so. But that, I mean, that didn't stop us from, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it does stop us from going to the closing table. Oh, well.
No. I mean, we still have options.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to go to the closing table if we didn't have a strategy on how we're going to pay it back. But I certainly don't like taking $500,000 out of our reserve.
And we also have a discussion in closed session today, too.
Mr. Wood, is our county auditor, do you have anything you'd like to weigh in on this, what you see from a budgetary standpoint?
I mean, at your point in time, I mean, you might have to write the check.
Is that or lose that?
That's what I'm thinking.
March. No.
Wasn't that contract around February?
Which one?
The one that we have over there right now for the tax office.
The lease?
The lease, I mean. So when you're cutting the window pretty daggum short right now.
Yes, sir. I mean, whatever the decided afterward, whether we're able to go out and issue a tax note to pay ourselves back, if that's an option the court wants to do.
Explore,
yeah, that's the window's wide open in my opinion, if that is illegal. Option at this point in time, it seems like we're gonna have to buy a building pretty quick.
I
don't see any other option but reversing this transfer from the capital improvement fund and issuing that payment.
Mr. Valle is always willing to. I mean, every time I've called him, he pretty much answers the phone. You guys, I mean, I can call him. We can put him on speakerphone and ask him that direct question.
I have no issue with it.
Said a lot of things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I say, our window's getting.
That's
a single pain right now.
We need to.
Trust me, that's why I've been
running around trying to, and I know Mr. Carruthers is probably going to pull all his hair out if we don't do something pretty quick.
Mm. No.
It's already turned gray.
Mr. Pitts, Michigan Well. Well, we're sitting here in court discussing the financing of that building. And, you know, during our conversation, you had, you know, said that it's perfectly legal for us to go to the closing table, you know, pay the pay with it out of our general fund, and then get the tax note and reimburse ourselves. But the court would certainly love to hear your advice on that. May I put you on speakerphone? All right, hold on just a second. All right, I've got you on speakerphone.
Very good. You all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
So, yeah, really the biggest, you know, thing is, you know, we had two options in our books, and you and I discussed about, you know, a bank loan, which you and I both agree that that's very questionable, especially if we don't pay it off in this budget year. And then if we tried to refinance it, that could be very, you know, questionable in your opinion. But the second was, we have money in our general fund that we can go to the table right now and go to closing, you know, you're the building, and then just the legality of us then going on your scheduled timeline, you know, March the 12th, I guess, getting the tax note, and then, replenishing our account.
That is correct. One thing I would like the court to do is to consider a reimbursement resolution if y'all decide to take that avenue. That reimbursement resolution, and that will just be documentation to the fact that we have spent county funds for this project, and we reserve the right to reimburse ourselves with a future borrowing, which would be no issue. We would do it March.
Okay. That is factored.
What if we sell some property in that process and we don't need to borrow that much money?
It's not committing you to doing a net. It's just getting you to do
okay.
He's saying it's not obligating us to that?
Correct. The resolution doesn't obligate us to that.
Yeah.
That's correct. It's not obligating you. It just gives you
the option. Like I said, yeah, that was the biggest thing everybody wanted to make sure was that if we outlaid the money, that if we wanted to, we could legally, through a tax note, reimburse ourselves and grant your docs, you know, reimbursement resolution. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
That's all the questions I have.
All right. I think you answered all the questions. We will get back to you. We'll discuss this reimbursement resolution. I'm sure Mr. Belt would be the one to draft that up. And then, you know, our next court meeting is December the 10th. So we should be fine.
Yeah, actually, I would suggest that we get a bigger staff to draft up the reimbursement resolution.
Okay.
I second
that
motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess my question is, do we need to do the resolution before we do the? No. No.
So we've got 60 days to do the resolution after you spend the funds. So you've got a 60-day window there to approve that resolution after.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
I have nothing.
I'm good.
Well, Mr. Benz, you didn't disappoint me. I said this guy is always fantastic about answering his phone. I appreciate you letting us put you on the spot.
No You're very kind. And if I can do anything else to help, please let me know.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, so number 18, consider financing options for the purchase of property 809 South Main, CAD 121069.
So we need to get that resolution put on the next court then.
Yeah, I've got it
so we
written
didn't
down.
This issue at this time?
I don't think so.
Well, we need a motion to engage paper staff to draft the resolution, or is that something you can just contact them and say you drafted it?
No, that's it. So just that's who helps us. That's who works with events and we work with them.
Yeah.
Okay.
In which times we they ensure his name. The guy that works there that helped us in the past, and his last name will come to him at some point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Bashman, your commission to Bashman. You know, you expressed, you know, the selling of the property. Here's my, and this is just open discussion, here's my biggest concern. We have multiple other things that need to be done in the next, so could be very quickly. One, a maintenance building. And my fear is that if we, even if we sold all four properties that we have talked about, that barely gets us to the 500,000. 600.
If we sell all multi-inoperable properties, you're looking at close to $700,000 a month.
600 and there.
That's, yeah, but then you're still,
sure, absolutely.
You're still no maintenance building.
Now, remember, you know, you can't go by what we sell it for because there's closing costs. There's, you know, I mean, that's going to reduce. Let's even roughly say $650,000. Mm-hmm. And so if it's going to cost us 500 and then 100, you know, 600,000, that leaves us with, you know, me personally, and again, I'm different than maybe others, I don't fear taking on a little bit of debt. And this county's going to have to do a little bit of that at times. It's just a, you know, matter of doing business. I choose to take on a little debt sometimes when it makes sense, especially when you get a low interest rate. My biggest,
and I'm the amount we talked about putting back very small, but still, you know, we had a pretty good tax increase this last budget. We realized how tough this budget was. It was brutal for everybody in this room. That's my concern, Commissioner. I didn't worry about, I know the amount is not much, but I'm still concerned about it. That's
3/10 of a penny.
Well, the way I look at it is this is a, I have to.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Now, if it was just a one, I wouldn't be for it.
Well,
and something too, Commissioner, I said, you know, if we sell the property, we should put it toward this. That's just my opinion. But yes, this is the unobtainable we have to part property. I'm not mentioning much about it.
Yeah, there's multi levels to this strategy. And again, I've done this before. You know, you can take the note out. And then let's say we determine to take 200,000 out of the proceeds from the sale of the things, and you apply that to the note.
Yeah.
And all it does is it totally decreases the length of the note, and it also decreases the taxes that you're going to pay on that.
I like that idea.
And they all may sell tomorrow.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah. But my number one major concern with our budget right now is the reserve. And I'm looking at every aspect and every way that we can to get that reserve built back up. I know that has given the auditor some consternation too when he sees our reserve dip, you know, below that recommended, you know, amount. So if we spend everything that we bring in and don't put some of it in savings, that's not, to me, that's just not a fiscally responsible. It's like spending every dime of your paycheck.
And we're looking at a 5-year note on this tax note, right? Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Yeah, 5 years.
Okay, so after the 5 years, that lease money we've been spending over there over the years is going to go back into the fund now.
Right. So, we will have. Yeah.
So, is there any motion on number 18? None. So no action on 18. All right. We'll move down to number 19. Consider budget amendment number 2 for FY 2025. And that's to move capital improvement fund expenditures from the reserve to the expenditure, excuse me, of $500,000.
Make that motion.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. All right. Number 20, consider authorizing the payment of $475,000 to complete the purchase agreement and the closing on the property of 809 South Main, Coppers Cove, CAD ID
121069. With that, who requested that? You? I only have one question. We don't know what that.
Owner's policy, obviously, right. There will be document preparation fees,
yep.
There will be closing fees, there will be owner policy.
Yep.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
Correct.
Right. So at this point, with the transfer, we can take that cash number to them and get a closing doc.
Yes, I will have.
For the 10th.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Once I let them know,
right.
There will be no lending institution involved. They will have the closing statement ready in short order.
Okay.
They already have it ready.
Right, I know that.
And I told them, right. I don't know what we're doing.
Right.
So I'll let y'all know as soon as I know. And so now that I know.
And let them know.
Give us a number.
So no action on 20.
Need to be tabled. Y'all have money in the budget.
Well, I guess we could table it until we get a dollar amount.
I have money in the budget at this point. So there's a budget limit. Put money in the budget
yes.
to purchase that
yes.
building. Y'all have authorized me to execute all documents necessary to close on the purchase of that building. There's sufficient money in the budget now to do it. I get that closing statement. I'm going to sign it, then approve it, and submit it to him for a check.
Yeah, because we moved the 500, which we've already put 25 in, and we've already approved that. So we are at 475, and I can't imagine closing costs. No way it's going to be more than 25,000. So
no, it's going to be there's a $400 closing fee.
Right.
There's going to be about $150 document prep fee. There's going to be about $100-some-odd owner's policy
mm-hmm.
fee. And maybe some, I don't remember who has to pay for tax certificates anymore, but there may be $25 for a tax certificate on one of those costs.
And the
$75
courier fee.
So, you know,
I was less than a thousand.
So,
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Because they're paying the they're paying the seller's policy, which is the highest one. They're paying for the agent's fees. It's,
right.
And so the ours is going to be relatively.
Yeah, I think Ms. Lutman said she thought it was be less than $1,000.
So is this sufficient enough to say I'd make a motion authorizing Mr. Bell to complete the purchase agreement and closing on the property located 809 South Main, Coppers Cove, CAT ID 121069?
I think I've already done that.
Right.
So that's the first time.
I thought we did too, but just said, didn't have a true dollar amount.
Title company's got the minutes from
right.
We all authorized me to sign. Mm-hmm. They requested
right.
those because they put you in the packet. And it's all there. There wasn't any money for me to.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much do that if you just leave out the dollar amount.
Well, what are you saying? We don't have to do anything. We already moved the money. Mr. Bell has the money now. And he has the authorization to go to closing.
The auditor and the treasurer will have to tell you what they're going to require from y'all to cut that check. But y'all have already authorized the purchase of the property. Y'all have already authorized me to execute all documents necessary to close on the property. Y'all have now moved the money over so that the money is available to close on the property. I don't know what else the auditor and the treasurer are going to want to cut the check. That's the question you'll have to ask them.
Do you need anything else?
Authorize us to make payment. Whatever the voting is.
All right. I'd make a motion.
To the next court and run it through with the regular bills. I don't know if we have that time.
Not here. No. We've got. I'd be lying to you if I told you how many days we have left to close under our contract. I'd have to look back and see, but I'm quite confident we have time.
I think it's 45 days from the first money.
Mm-hmm.
That was November 1st.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I was thinking we had time because we talked about the other day. We had time for the December 10th meeting because we thought it would take that long to get the documents executed. We went through Vince.
I think one decision as well.
And so that's not necessarily an issue. It's just we can't get in the building to start doing anything
right.
until after we close.
And then,
but at this
that
point,
being a problem.
You know, it's going to make 2 weeks difference. So,
right.
No matter. I mean,
so if Commissioner Masham said the 12th, he thought our commissioner's court is on the 10th.
Authorize this to issue payment so we can get Mr. Carruthers in the building.
I make a motion to that the court authorize the payment to through Mr. Belt's office to Corio County Land and Abstract for the paying off of 809 South Main, Coppers Cove, Texas. CAD number 121069.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. All right. That satisfied him. All right. Consider a memorandum of understanding between the Moody ISD Police Department and Corio County Sheriff's Office.
It's pretty standard. I was going to do all looks fine. I'm not sure who drafted it, but they're very thorough, very good. I was impressed.
Yeah,
excellent.
I saved it in case I ever needed it.
Go.
That's the page. They changed my mind.
I'd make a motion to approve the memorandum of understanding.
Second.
All right. If you're in Weddle, I think I heard Weddle first. But anyway, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed, same sign. Number 22, discuss restraint, impound, disposition of dogs, cats in Corio County.
I requested this to be put on the agenda because we're gonna be rewriting our rules, maybe. I don't know how we want to be able and I don't know about you guys. I get quite a few phone calls. Also get, and we talked this about once before. I think Commissioner Matthews put this on the agenda. We have a problem in Corio County with stray, loose, roaming dogs, feral cats. You know, municipalities, you know, they have rules, laws, abilities to take care of stuff like that. Yeah, our constituents, they're talking between a rock and a hard spot. And we always hear, well, you have the right to protect your, you know, your livestock. The minute they shoot an animal, and if it's deemed it's not in the act of, you know, killing their livestock, you know, then there's all these kinds of.
Or previously known to have harassed, annoyed, or attacked livestock.
Okay.
You don't have to catch it back. If you catch it the next time coming across the place and the same one that was stacking something before, then smoke it.
Yeah.
You just smoke it. That's the same thing.
There is always three issues.
Just about. You're rolling your eye. Go ahead and give me your opinion on this. Get it out of the way.
No, I wasn't rolling my eyes. I was just thinking about. No offense, Mr. Weddle, but we didn't have this problem before all the moving in the Coryell County, as I call them. We didn't have this problem back in the old days, but all the development, all the subdivisions, the branchettes, everybody thinks they moved the country on their 10 acres and turned their dogs loose, and they're not going to have any problem. And guess what? They've got problems because their neighbor down the road's got chickens, neighbor next door's got goats, neighbor two doors over's got, you know, a llama and a pet five-belly pig on their 10-acre ranchette. Guess what? We got problems. And we've had this conversation many times in the past, and it's all about money.
Right.
It's all about money. Y'all want animal control? Give us some money, because we got to have money. We got to have facilities or contracts with facilities. We got to have manpower, not only that manpower, but qualified manpower with the equipment necessary to execute the.
I think it is a good discussion. I have been.
It's cost a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Every time we've ever talked about it, it's always cost too much money. And if you don't fund it appropriately, my frustration is I know where all the calls come. They come to my office. And the sheriff's office calls. We don't know what to do. But I don't know what to tell you. Call your commissioner, I guess. They're the ones that said do this and didn't give us any money or equipment or manpower to do it with.
I will say that the new city manager, I have visited with him about this, and him being the first, to be honest with you, to show some type of a agreement, possible agreement. We visited before we had one runoff, you know, and we talked about maybe getting trustees over there, adding to the kennel, maybe some manpower, et cetera. And it just kind of kicked its way down the road. But
we have had agreements in the past with the city of Gatesville. Mm-hmm. We have had agreements with them. They have in the past actually sent their people and their vehicles out to the county to aid us. And they still will if we get in a bad
situation. Aggressive, yeah.
We've got to have them.
Yeah.
If we've got a dangerous dog that we've got to impound, just a situation that there's just no other way to deal with it, they will come help us.
Sure.
At least last time we called them did. Now, next time, maybe not, but they have in the past. They have never. When it's got bad enough, we had to have them. They never told us no. Years ago, we had an agreement with Bell County. They had Dr. Dunn's old vet office there on South I-35. Bell County had rented it from him for their animal control facility. We had an agreement with them. Right. They would house our animals there. We had to impound some. And we've had agreements with Conference Cove, and they'll help us. They've always helped us, too. We've gotten a bind and had to help. If we've got a dangerous dog down there or something, that, you know, under the law that we have got to do something with, they've never told us no.
Right.
When it was bad enough that we had to have some help. And in the past, we had interlocal agreements with them. Still have. They've never been revoked.
Right.
Now, it hasn't been that many years ago, in my mind, that we redid our one with Copper's Cove and increased the rates, because the rates were still 15 years old. And so we increased them, because it was like $10 a day or whatever. We increased them to whatever their rate was now, and their impoundment fee to whatever it was now.
Man, I think it was like 2019 or somewhere in there.
It could have been.
Yeah.
And so they've, me and Ms. Caballo, we went to Cove the other day and visited with their animal control folks. They've got a relatively new bunch down there, because we deal with all of the animal issues in the city limits. I say all, pretty much all. There are very few of the animal issues in the city limits that the city attorney and the municipal court take care of. They're all about traffic tickets. That's what they know how to do. That's what they care about, and they don't want to touch any animals. So
we did with this mother, mother assistance in the past. So we're very, very, very familiar with all the laws regarding all of these things that are listed here about animals.
I think when the budget comes back around, we do need to try to work something in.
You know, the old saying, right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I tend to differ with you a little bit. I don't think it's strictly the move-ins. I think, you know, there's just a lot of folks that think they can just let their dogs, including guard dogs, who don't have boundaries. They don't feed them. You know, they get hungry. They're not going to eat their own, you know, goats and sheep, but they will go, you know, kill a chicken or two, you know, for easy food. And the other thing is, I've never had this issue, but all of a sudden, I'm getting feral cats just, you know, showing up. I've got three of them right now. So more than...
Well, I think they're breeding them.
And I'm opposed, unlike maybe some of you guys, I am opposed to shooting a domestic animal.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a kind heart that says, man, that's, you know, that's a domestic animal. It's not their fault. Yeah. It's the human's fault for letting these people out. So the reason I brought this up was, yes, this says impoundment and all that, but did we not, don't we have a compliance officer now? And can we not find people who are allowing their animals to roam free? I mean, I had a problem with my neighbor. I went across the street and said, hey, keep your dog in your yard. You know, he was out harassing the deer hunters. I got a, you know, call from a deer hunter next to me. Said, is this your dog? And I said, no. And he was almost two counties away from his home range, just out running around, just having a good old time. He wouldn't do anything mischievous. But they said he came and sat right down next to their blind. You know, so I was thinking more in the light of, I actually despise government intervention in my life. But they have it in the city, you know, it's a fine. You know, you have a lease law, if you will. Confinement laws. And then the other would be just thinking out of the box, especially on the cats. I love the program of if I had a humane trap, I trapped it, I could take it to the vet, I could have it fixed, they clip their ear, and then you let them loose. And then they fend for themselves, but they're not reproducing, you know, what a cat can reproduce it 4 months, mm-hmm. 6 months.
I don't know, okay.
So, and then can have 3 or 4 or 5 litters a year, and then all of a sudden you've got this a colony explosion. They've seen that here in the city.
Maybe.
So, you know, could it be where, but I think it's like $80 to have a cat spayed, you know.
I know out of the prison what they done out there that 1 year they had a deal worked with A&M, the vet school.
Yeah.
And they would capture these cats, and they would send their vet students up and spay and neuter, and then turn them back loose wherever you caught them at.
Right.
And I got involved in that unwillingly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got 2 West Texas A&M students here. We can send some back with them.
Absolutely. So part of my other responsibilities was running the animal control facility in Belton. And I can tell you that it is very expensive.
Yeah.
Not just for that, but when we talk about, we have to lease all in the state of Texas, which we can enforce, right, as peace officers. What is our recourse when we don't? When they don't follow through with that, and we're at the second and third and fourth check, okay? Belt's going to say go and find the animal if he gets an impound or have a better sign off on it. Where are we going to put the animal? Now we have that cost of debt. The certifications that are required for the people who are picking those up, because the deputy can't transport them in their car if you transport him. There's all kinds of different rules that fall out there that I think you're going to find are going to be very cost prohibitive, like Mr. Belt said, unless we fund this program. I would tell you that 95% of all the complaints and problems that I had came from the animal control facility. And I had 118 employees, you know, all the court systems, deputies, everything, it all three commensurate works. Because you've got all the PETAs and SPCAs and all of those groups who are constantly watching everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about spading the cats, fixing the cats. Then what do you do with them? You turn them back out.
Yeah.
And we still have a nuisance problem. They just can't reproduce. There are different types of programs out there through the animal control facility or some of the SPCA facilities that you can get. Let's say somebody takes a feral cat, they can reach out to them and they will give them a certificate to go to a vet and they will spay them for free.
Yeah.
As long as they promise to keep that animal. So there's all kinds of different programs that you can look at going to that maybe wouldn't be cost prohibitive. I think when we start talking about writing tickets and you follow up with impoundments and follow up with what the procedures and the law is going to say we have to do, then we're going to be spending a lot of money on training people. Because they do have to have those certifications in order to do that.
Yeah, and right now we're just talking about discussion. Yeah. This has been a discussion for a number of years. I know that a lot of the dogs and cats are bred inside the city limits. When they can't get rid of them, they go dump them out in the country, thinking they'll survive, and they end up. But it is something that I think that we need to discuss closer to budget. There's no doubt, and some kind of an agreement to where we can handle some of this. Because I know some folks that are at their max on what they can handle. I mean, I've got several out in my area, but I don't know of any leash law in Texas except for those that when you have a dog on a leash and then the owner's responsible once the dog acts. I don't know of any, but I know there was something about chaining them up in the heat.
You have to tie them up on a
right.
Legally approved
right.
device.
Yeah.
Like you can't use chains anymore. There's all
yeah, it's all kinds of stuff.
Have to be able
yeah.
To bring a dog.
Yeah. But we need to, you know.
And so we have the agreements that we have in place right now. There's no doubt in my mind that if we had what I'm going to call an emergency situation, we had to
call for somebody.
Detain an animal. That whether we call Gatesville or Carpenter's Cove, they would accommodate us and they would house that animal. And we would deal with them on either getting them paid by the owner, reimbursed, or the county would pay them. We've done it. I mean, we've been doing this for at least 20 years.
Yeah, I know at least two times.
And it's all been on a case-by-case basis because the moment we go to a set program of animal control, they are not going to be able to accommodate our volume. They're just not going to be able to. It's not going to be possible.
Right.
They're already full. I mean, like I said, me and Mr. Ball just went to visit with Cove Animal Shelter the other day. I know when I talked to the Gatesville Animal Control gal was in my office last week talking to me about a case. I mean, I talked to them all of the time.
Yeah, didn't their new facility cost like $17 million or something?
Over there it was like 5 or 8 or something. It was high. Yeah.
And so it's going to get... I mean, right now, it's obviously our program is very manageable because it's emergency basis
only
and case by case. But once we go to a more organized, I'll call it animal control program, the numbers are going to be, you know, you get the same phone calls I get. I get them all the time, too. Yeah. And I know all y'all do. We get them all the time, and nobody has the capacity presently to deal with that.
And it's only going to get, I mean, we know it, as this county grows. These are the, you know, Bell County has been there, Clinton County has been there. As the county grows, these problems, and so, again, and thank you, Mr. Matthews, because that's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to talk about these things, try to get ahead of it a little bit. And maybe, you know, sometimes people think it's either 1 or 100. Sometimes I look at, hey, is there 50? Is there some place we can come there, you know, in between and, you know, maybe look at some out of, you know, outside the box ideas that won't cost. Yeah. And I agree, I have no intentions of talking about an impoundment facility. I would not say that I would not be at all in favor of getting that kind of a program.
Yeah.
But a catch and release, you educated me some. I mean, if you escalate it to a fine, you know, then eventually that leads to, you know, an impoundment if they won't. And a couple of the people I've talked to, that's what I've told them. I said, look, you know, I love, you know, I probably get in trouble for saying this, but, you know, Ron White, comedian, had the same. You can't fix stupid. And people who break the laws, you know, I've lived in a place where there were leash laws. You still had people that would just walk their dogs and then they come up and, you know, get aggressive with my dog on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I try to kick their dog and they get all mad at me. No, it's supposed to be on a leash. You know, people just don't pay attention to that type of stuff. So we're not going to fix stupid, but our job is to help and protect citizens and give them the tools to protect their property,
yep,
other than those people who don't want to shoot a domestic animal.
Well, one of the deals on the impoundment, if you don't impound that dog, you just done them a favor, and they're not going to pay any fees or nothing like that. Oh, you just keep the dog.
Pretty much. It's kind of like we have that with donkeys, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, they'd rather just give the donkey up than to come get it.
Well, sometimes they just pull out on the county road somewhere and keep it back there. So one car,
right.
Take them out
and yeah.
The
yeah.
Well, there's a pile of them over there.
Yeah, well, we can't fix, you know, the people who are going to do that, but it's our job to protect the ones that do.
Right.
So thank you for allowing me to just be vent. And I agree with you, as a budget, we probably need to.
Yeah.
Bring it up.
All right. Any other discussion on 22? We'll move down to number 23. Discuss possible actions on rescheduling the December 2024 Commissioner's Court. Everybody good with the 23rd? Or anybody good with the 23rd? That's a Monday.
That's a Monday. It's going to be fine.
It's underneath that paper corner.
Ah, there you go. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I put that on there because I know if we don't,
yeah,
it'll be this last minute.
I'm fine with it.
Other than paying bills, I mean, beyond anything, reason why we have to even have a meeting.
The next one after that will be till January 14th.
Mm. Right.
We have it adopted that, you know, but I don't have a problem with doing it on the 23rd, though. We need three people.
I don't have it on my calendar, but I know I've got.
I can be here. Got to. I'd make a motion to schedule the December the 23rd for Commissioner's Court at 9 a.m. in lieu of the 24th.
Second.
All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, same sign. All right. 23rd of December. All right. Consider actions concerning the current burn ban enacted by Court Order CC24-10 on October the 22nd, 2024. I did get a call from Chief Faden, and he said that, you know, we're not. Yeah, we need to keep it in place.
Right out there, guys.
Yeah.
We need direct water.
All right.
Judy Belt objects. Been cleaning up under for concrete down in the bottom in the park. She's got a bunch of dead limbs. Got it up down there Friday morning. It's 43 degrees. Heavy dew, zero wind. The burn in effect. Of course, Saturday and Sunday, the wind blows like a gale.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't blowing much today. Like, it ain't moving much. But she appreciates the government looking out for her interest, telling her what to do with her private property that she owns. It's or any of y'all come along with it, but I don't know. I don't,
to be honest with you, I don't have anything even in here.
Is that a legal or a
on that?
That's you, Bell Speedy.
On,
y'all ever again.
I might come to your courtroom someday, in my opinion.
It's not my courtroom, that'd be the judge's courtroom.
I don't even have anything in here, so I probably need to get that court order before we go any further. If you don't mind, I would ask to table it because I need to read it. It's not in the packet, and make sure that we have the correct language, unless it's whatever action you want to take.
I think it's good to put that on there.
I'm thinking so, yeah.
I'd probably go ahead and want to go write a ticket.
Yeah.
His wife might come back and pick it up, but she didn't want to. She's afraid to look that on there.
I would suggest tabling until we can get one in front of us, to be honest with you, but that's my thoughts.
Ms. Roebuck's usually listening. She might have it.
Yeah. Nothing as of yet. All right. So make a motion to table, and we'll get that copy table for now myself. And then Commissioner Basham, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed, same sign, to table that. Number 15 would be to pay bills. We have bills totaling an amount of $1,339,010.82. I would make a motion to pay the bills.
What's our vote on 24 exactly?
We tabled it because we don't have one in front of us.
This is talking about the order
that
entered on October
22nd. I didn't know how it read. If you just leave it, or
I'm just gonna help you out here. We have a motion and a
second. Yeah, on to pay the bills. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign.
All right. Go back to 24.
Yeah. Local. I basically just got to renew the motion, renew the order.
And then the duration, I guess.
Of the 45 days. Yeah, it says effective sunset October 2022 for the period of 45 days. The date of adoption, unless terminated earlier, based on the determination made by the court or the county judge that a public safety hazard no longer exists.
Is this still in effect?
Yes, sir.
I think you put the owner to consider maybe lifting it. There's nothing on there about extending it, or maybe still in effect.
It's just the 45 days. A period of 45 days.
From when?
October the 22nd is when it was. So we're 4 days into it? And it won't be 34. It would be 48 days at December the 10th, the next quarter. That's why I put it. Yes, ma'am.
Right.
It'll expire before the next court.
Right.
Or I'm fine with it. Except y'all.
December 11th.
Hmm? I don't know if you can by law.
Oh.
I don't know on that.
I don't know.
I think you can just let it ride, and if we get some rain in between then now and then.
Right there with our county attorney. I mean,
all right.
You could use common sense, but the problem is there's that one person that doesn't have that common sense.
So we originally need those animal laws.
I know it. Catastrophic.
So, no action on 24. All right, we can go down to reports. I want to tell everybody to have a happy Thanksgiving, but I do want to reach out and make comments on Oglesby, Jonesboro, Gatesville, and then the Crawford girls. Of course, the Hamilton boys, they're still in it too. In the area, we've got lots of folks, even Iredale, right? They're still in it. So they're all in the playoffs. They're all chugging along. I think there's a couple tough ones coming up, but like Oglesby, there was 116-76, I think, the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iredale was like 91-90. Ooh. Anyway, but my understanding, the Crawford girls won the state championship in volleyball, I think. That's what I was told earlier this morning. Anyway, that's all I got.
You know, happy Thanksgiving. Everybody be safe.
I wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And yeah, my shout out to Extra Fight Hornets, Ogilvy, and Jonesboro. The boys have done a lot of good. Going, guys.
Keith?
Yeah, Jonesboro plays Friday at 6 in Hyco. They play Gordon, and then Oglesby plays Richmond Springs in Belton. And then Hamilton plays in Rutherford.
Yeah.
They play Kearns, and I don't know who Gatesville plays or where they play. I hadn't heard of that.
They play Steely.
Ooh.
At,
ooh.
At Bryan.
At Bryan, yeah.
Dickerson got any kids?
Huh? Yeah.
I said Eric Dickerson got it.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, that's all I have. I guess we have a closed meeting executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code section 551.071. Meet in closed session with the county attorney and Texas Government Code 551.072 to meet in conduct closed meeting on deliberations regarding purchase, exchange, lease, or real property value. So, thinking. Pretty simple.
In mention?
Yeah. I don't have to stop that for now, but.
Hello?
We're worried about you.
And you don't have to come to that.
I think. Kyle.
Look at that round.
Need to recess that.
Okay.
Terrible. They freak then. And I'm like, come on, people. Well, I mean, what?
You need anything signed, my friend? All right. We are back in resuming the open meeting, and we're on number 30, consider actions necessary to initiate the sale of a county-owned property. Any action want to be taken? No action to be taken. As for a motion to adjourn.
There was the other one, too. 28.
No action. Yeah, no action on 28 or 30. And ask for a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, motion.
Got a motion from Taylor, Commissioner Taylor. Got a second from Commissioner Basham. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.